thinking, what would your reaction be if you were part of the crowd watching on? When Jesus came down from the hill, great crowds followed him. Then a man sick with a harmful skin disease came to Jesus. The man bowed down before him and said, "Lord, you have the power to heal me, if you want." Jesus touched the man and said, "I want to heal you. Be healed." And immediately the man was healed from his skin disease. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about what happened, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the people who are made well. This will show people that you are healed." So, if you're in the crowd watching on, what do you think your reaction would be? What would you be feeling or thinking? Any thoughts?
Wow.
Wow. Other thoughts?
Did that really happen?
When the man came forward, surely, what is Jesus going to do?
Yeah, that. What's going to happen? What's Jesus going to do? Yeah. Are there ones that we're saying, keep away from the man with the skin disease? Yeah. This is a risky person, you know, like if we translate, you know, this is someone who's COVID positive, like standing right there with you, right? Why is Jesus going towards a man with skin disease? Yeah. No PPE for Jesus. Okay, brilliant. We'll go on to the next one. Thanks, Peter. Jesus went to the city of Capernaum. When he entered the city, an army officer came to Jesus and begged for help. The officer said, "Lord, my servant is at home in bed. He can't move his body and is in much pain." Jesus said to the officer, "I will go and heal him." The officer answered, "Lord, I'm not good enough for you to come into my house. All you need to do is command that my servant be healed, and he will be healed. I am myself a man under the authority of other men. I have soldiers under my command. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. I tell another soldier, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and my servant obeys me." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said to those who were with him, "I tell you the truth, this man has more faith than any other person I have found, even in Israel. Many people will come from the east and from the west. They will sit and eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And those people who should have the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. In that place, people will cry and grind their teeth with pain." Then Jesus said to the officer, "Go home. Your servant will be healed, just as you believed he would." And at that same time, his servant was healed. Again, maybe a range of feelings and responses. What are some of the things that come to mind?
Didn't expect that to happen.
We did expect that to happen. Yeah. Yeah, the soldier should be telling Jesus what to do. He's in kind of this position of kind of power, but kind of Jesus is telling him what to do that way around. Yeah. Other ones from anyone online want to come in? What would you be thinking? I don't know. Do you think if you're kind of one of the people of Israel, do you think there's, I'm wondering if there's a kind of unsettled reaction here, if kind of Jesus is implying, look, there are kind of Gentiles who are kind of getting in on the kingdom ahead of you, and some of you are missing this. That's probably quite confrontational, right? It's probably quite unsettling, quite edgy. Okay. So our next one. Thanks, Peter. Jesus went to Peter's house. There Jesus saw that Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a high fever. Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she stood up and began to serve Jesus. That evening, people brought to Jesus many who had demons. Jesus spoke, and the demons left them. Jesus healed all the sick. He did these things to make come true what Isaiah the prophet said. He took our suffering on him. He felt our pain for us. Thoughts and reactions here? We're going through quite quickly, I know, but just anything that jumps out. Yeah, so, yes, this is the sort of thing the Messiah should be doing. Huh, yeah.
We should all love our mother-in-law.
we should all love our mother-in-law. Amazing. There was one from over... The demons obey Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. We have a waiting list and we'll see up to number 13 today, but no. Yeah. Yeah. His compassion is limitless. Thanks, Peter. Let's check. Oh, so we've also got, forget these Romans, look after us. Yeah, that was a response to the previous one, wasn't it? That's interesting, isn't it? So when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he told his followers to go to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to Jesus and said, teacher, I will follow you any place you go. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes to live in, the birds have nests to live in, but the Son of Man has no place where he can rest his head. Another man, one of Jesus' followers, said to Jesus, Lord, let me go and bury my father first. But Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the people who are dead bury their own dead.
Harsh.
Yeah. It's really full on, isn't it? Really challenging. Kind of what's going on, yeah, what's going on here? No, it's not the thing you'd expect a normal teacher or a leader to say. Yeah, there's something going on here. So then we're off into a boat. So Jesus got into a boat and his followers went with him. A very bad storm arose on the lake. The waves covered the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The followers went to Jesus and woke him. They said, Lord, save us, we'll drown. Jesus answered, why are you afraid? You don't have enough faith. Then Jesus got up and gave a command to the wind and the sea. The wind stopped, and the sea became very calm. The men were amazed. They said, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Wow, what do we make of this then?
Thank God.
Thank God. Yeah. Yeah. What was the name of the storm? Eunice? Eunice? Hmm. This is cosmic. Yeah. This is like... It's funny, isn't it? There's something going on here where somehow I think, you know... I don't know. Maybe we would think that kind of healings are amazing, but somehow, I don't know, does this seem to you like on another level? Maybe the healings are more amazing? I'm not sure. I don't know, but there's something kind of like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? So we're going to get to the other side of the lake. We're going with Jesus a bit further. Jesus arrived at the other side of the lake in the country of the Gadarene people. And there, two men came to Jesus. They had demons in them. These men lived in the burial caves. They were so dangerous that people could not use the road by the caves. The two men came to Jesus and shouted, what do you want with us, Son of God? Did you come here to punish us before the right time? Near that place, there was a large herd of pigs feeding. The demons begged Jesus, if you make us leave these men, please send us in to that herd of pigs. Jesus said to them, go. So the demons left the men and went into the pigs. Then the whole herd of pigs ran down the hill into the lake and were drowned. The men who were caring for the pigs ran away and went into the town. They told about all of this and what happened to the men who had the demons. Then the whole town went out to see Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to leave their area. What would your reaction be? We're obviously hearing some of their reaction. Please go.
You just killed all our pigs.
Like our livelihood. Gone.
Dinner.
Not for the Jews who wouldn't have eaten the pigs. So Chell, he's doing stuff only God does. Price of pork will be going up. Get rid of him. Yeah, you've got supply chain issues, I'm afraid. Yeah. Definitely kind of stuff going on. Okay. Got another boat. Jesus got into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought Jesus. He's on the move, isn't he? Some people brought to Jesus a man who was paralyzed. The man was lying on a mat. Jesus saw that these people had great faith. So he said to the paralyzed man, be happy, young man. Your sins are forgiven. Some of the teachers of the Lord heard this. They said to themselves, "This man speaks as if he were God. That is blasphemy." And on the next slide, Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he said, "Why are you thinking evil thoughts? Which is easier, to tell this paralyzed man your sins are forgiven, or to tell him stand up and walk? But I will prove to you that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Stand up, take your mat and go home." And the man stood up and went home. The people saw this and were amazed. They praised God for giving power like this to men. So again, we get a sense of their reaction. They were amazed. Would that be you too? Or different reactions? What would you be feeling or thinking? Confused? Because who is he? What's going on? Yeah. What's this all about? Yeah, not what I've been taught. Yeah. So we've got from online from the previous one. Pork is probably going off the menu for the week. So we've got one more part. Thanks, Peter. When Jesus was leaving, he saw a man named Matthew. Matthew was sitting in the tax office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew stood up and followed Jesus. Jesus had dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Jesus and his followers. The Pharisees saw this and asked Jesus' followers, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard the Pharisees ask this, so he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Only the sick need a doctor. Go and learn what this means. I want faithful love more than I want animal sacrifices. I did not come to invite good people. I came to invite sinners." So, yeah, reactions or thoughts to this?
There's no divide with him. There's no kind of them and us.
Yeah.
There's no prejudice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so kind of Jesus doesn't do that kind of them and us thing. I want to agree and also slightly disagree, if I may, because I think there is a bit of a them and us thing going on between the Pharisees and Jesus. So there is a kind of inclusion, but that is also producing a kind of a different line, because you know the Pharisees, that's what they should be doing, and they're not doing it. So he's kind of, they're not being the true older brother who kind of goes and finds the younger son. They're kind of staying at home, kind of like thinking they're sorted. So I agree. Like he's not going, "So I'll meet with these people and not with these people." He's bringing them in, isn't it? And that's what you were saying. I really agree. Other thoughts or reactions? We've got one on the screen. So why is he going around with those bad people? And then later, he's talking to them to make them good, maybe. I like gooder. Yeah. Any other thoughts or reactions? Why didn't the Pharisees ask Jesus directly? They don't come out of their interactions with him very well, do they, often? So I'm wondering if they're a bit kind of hesitant now after this. I don't know.
They know he doesn't like them very much.
No. He's kind of... Yeah. There's kind of a unsettling kind of, it's a threat to their authority, isn't he really? A threat to their power. Okay. So let's go on to the next slide. Thanks, Peter. So thanks for kind of walking with me kind of through those passages. What I want to do is to take us just back a little bit to last week and remind us something. So last week, Rich talked about Jesus the champion. So Jesus had gone into the desert and he'd had this confrontation with the enemy and he'd come out the champion. He'd kind of was the victor and resisted and the enemy had gone from him. And so kind of here we see Jesus the champion. He's kind of given his teaching and now he's coming and he is seeing back, pushing back the kind of forces of evil, all the kind of things arrayed the authority that the enemy has is kind of being pushed back. So I think of Jesus in these passages, and the reason why I wanted to read them all together is I think it's a bit like kind of like bosh, 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 off they go, no, you, quiet, still, healed, go, all this stuff is kind of happening. But like as Mary Roster kind of very well reminded me, it's not just that he's kind of going bosh, 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 kind of carnage in the wake, although there is some, isn't there? But actually he's replacing the kind of problems of evil and the kind of things that affect people with good, right? People are being brought into wholeness and restoration in a number of different ways. So Jesus, in that challenge in the desert, was being questioned, like, how was he going to take power? How is he going to come into his kingship? Was he going to kind of come under Satan and kind of take authority from him in that way by worshipping him? Was he going to kind of make a pact with evil? But that's not who Jesus is, and that's not his way. Jesus' way is the way of the suffering servant, and it's going to take him all the way to his enthronement, to his kind of receiving the crown on a wooden cross. And that's the way of his kingdom. And so I think what we're seeing in these passages is Jesus, the divine warrior, in action, kind of pushing back. But it's not just that it's kind of evil scattered. It's the presence of goodness is restored. So Jesus, the liberator, has both authority. He has the power to make change, and crucially, the compassion, the heart, the passion to do it. So Jesus shows mercy to outcasts, people who have been kind of socially isolated, or kind of people who are isolating or being made to isolate because of their kind of sickness. He's bringing liberation from people who are possessed, who are experiencing illness. The kind of isolation that comes is being kind of put to rights. He's coming to Jews and to Gentiles, to kind of Peter's mother-in-law and the centurion's servant, and they're being kind of restored into action. People are coming to life all over the place. People who are afraid, he's kind of putting to rights kind of stirred up nature. People who have been oppressed and who themselves are hurting others, and they're put to rights, they're being brought back into community. People like Matthew the tax collector, who's kind of been allied and caught up with these kind of systems of power, are being kind of brought back into kind of right relationship through the things that they're doing. And I just want to note very kind of briefly something about the anti-social nature of like evil, of like ordinary and spectacular evil. Do you see how like it separates people off? It kind of restricts them into themselves. It's so diminishing. And yet what Jesus does is he's restoring, and his kingdom restores relationship with God. Sin is dealt with each other, with our bodies, with nature. They're restored. Jesus is bringing the fullness of what the future is like into the present for these people. This is God's Son, whom the Father loves and is well pleased with. This is what his kingdom looks like. And so, I could end there. You might want me to, I don't know about the time. I could say, look, if you're suffering today, let's pray for an encounter with Jesus, that you meet Jesus, the liberator, that you meet Jesus, the kind of the Joshua who saves his people. And I think we can, and I think we should pray. And people here will have testimonies of those, like in Matthew's gospel. But I also want us to kind of pause and think, when we look around, we know that there are things that we see in our own lives and the situations that we see around us where we're not seeing that liberation come. So Storm Eunice on Friday wasn't stilled. I don't know if you prayed. I have to confess, I didn't. I don't know if you can decide what that tells you about me. Many of us know what it's like to live diminished lives. And we might feel, where is our liberator? Does Jesus lack the power? Or has he run out of compassion? Does he just not want to with us? Because that was the question. If you want to, you can, if you want to. And there can be a really deep cry, I think, of feeling abandoned to all that is just wrong, that isn't how things should be. If you go on to the next slide, Peter. I've been thinking about this phrase, it's the one that's come to mind, and it's one that Samwise Gamgee, at the end of The Lord of the Rings, well, at the kind of when the ring has been destroyed, sorry, spoiler alert, and he says to Gandalf, I think it's kind of, you know, people know that now. Anyway, and he says, is everything sad going to come untrue? I just think it's a profound thing. I was interested to notice, actually, that Gandalf doesn't actually answer yes. I thought he had, but he did. He doesn't. But he says instead, a great shadow has passed. A great shadow has passed. And later in Matthew's Gospel and in this series, we'll see Jesus, the overwhelmed. We're going to see him entrusting himself to his Father, and we're going to see him willingly handed over to be crucified. And in the cross, a great shadow has passed. And in the resurrection, Jesus was raised. But for us, not yet. If we suffer, I guess, you know, we can think that he lacks compassion. But in some ways, I want to say to us, how do we think that if we know that he's given his whole self for us? That doesn't strike me as what you would do if you're lacking compassion. He's given us his whole self. And if he's patient with a sinful world, not wrapping it all up now, because he's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, again, that doesn't strike me as someone who's lacking compassion. So I think it's true to say that God's kingdom comes as much in the cross, in the suffering, as it does in the resurrection. We might feel like the kingdom looks like these things. It looks like all the good stuff. But it also looks like Jesus on the cross. It looks like God bringing glory in the midst, in his suffering servant. And I don't want us to kind of then say, okay, we just need to kind of accept our lot. You know, kind of suffering is good. That would be, I think, to deny the pain and the reality of what many experience. But I think it's to say that the Christian life is lived between the reality of the cross, a reality that we've experienced and can't deny, the liberation we already know and have experienced, and the reality of the resurrection, the fullness of which we don't experience yet. And it's in the, you know, it's the liberation we have experienced, the liberation we can experience today, and the liberation that is still to come. So just the last slide. Thanks, Peter. So I want to say, I think that is good news for us this morning. Why is it good news? I think it's good news for messy people like us. I'm going to include you all in this. It's good news for the unwell. It is good news for the socially isolated, for the driven, for the just about managing and the I'm really not managing, for the not holding it together, for the people wondering if they can go on, for the people with emotions that are not polite to share. Jesus has come for us. And if we're feeling abandoned to our sorrows, he says, come, eat with me. He's not looking for the performance of religion. He's calling out of us the love we were made for. And in fact, he calls us to his table today, a simple meal of bread and wine in which he gives us himself. The bread and the wine, his body and blood. Come join him at table. Let's receive him. I just want to leave us with this question because it's been really kind of burning in me. I feel like it might apply to some of us and sometimes in our church life together as ISCA, and something that I think Jesus is calling us to respond to him in. I'm wondering, where are we performing tidiness? Kind of putting on a show, being good people or sorted people? Perhaps because we think it's a better witness. You know, we want to kind of witness to the good stuff, the glory. And maybe we kind of feel embarrassed about the things where things are not sorted, but that's where Jesus wants to come in. And perhaps it's because of our pride, but I just wonder, like, yeah, Jesus has come for the people who are not well. He's inviting us in. We don't want to be people who kind of can put on a show, but actually know little of the power and the mercy of Jesus. So let's come to him today, come to his table. He's inviting us. Let's receive him today to ask for his liberation and ask for his presence in the areas where we're not seeing that liberation yet. Amen.